Father, again, we thank you tonight that we're able to open up your word. Mm-hmm. And Father, cause our ears and hearts to be open, receptive to the Holy Spirit. Let none of your word escape, Father. But let it be that faith comes by hearing and hearing that word. Because we're shown that without faith it is impossible to please you. And Lord, all of us are at different areas of faith. But Father, the ultimate goal is that we might make it into glory. Mm. And so, Lord, we thank you for that seed that will be sown tonight through your word. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Well, it's good to be back again this evening. As some of you may be aware, and some of you may be just coming on to the internet, our brother Bob is still in India, and he's there for a month or just over a month. And I've just heard that they've just come back from a three-day conference that they've had, which was a sort of denominational one this time, but it was greatly received. And many we heard that received the word, the infilling of the baptism of the Spirit. And it's just wonderful to see how God is moving in India. They certainly are at this present time under a revival. And God is visiting that land, and there are many who are giving their lives to Christ. And I witnessed that myself while I was there for 2 weeks. And so we praise and we thank God for what he's doing. I'd like just to thank those who have been very much behind us in prayer and intercession, who've taken on the burdens to pray while we were there as well. We will be giving out a newsletter shortly to fill you in and to give you photographs so that you can see for yourselves what is actually happening and taking place there. There are tremendous and great needs there, and but we shall be explaining more of this in the newsletter in the next week or so. But tonight I'd like to share a word with you that I believe the Lord's laid on my heart. And for those of you who take notes, the title for this tonight is, Lord, I'm in your hands concerning my future. Lord, I'm in your hands concerning my future. Now, that might not sound any great revelation, because the Word of God shows us clearly from Genesis to Revelation that our destiny is in God's hands, and that God ultimately has the final say over our future as to where we will reside, whether that be in heaven or in hell. But to implement that and to live that and to walk daily by faith is not actually quite so easy. And the reason that I say that is because it is human nature to want to know the future, to want to know so that you can plan and scheme. And we all do it. And we all do it automatically, just like breathing. But God is teaching us that that is not the way we walk. He's showing us now, as we're approaching the near coming of the Lord, that we actually take each day as it comes by faith, and we meet what is in that day, and sufficient is the day to meet the Lord in that, and his grace and mercy will get us through. He doesn't want us planning or looking to the future. And I really want to emphasize this tonight, because you're going to see that you still do this. We still do this. And I'm convinced that because we still do this, the enemy works in this, and this is why he tries to work despondency, depression, and unbelief. And I think we're going to get a deliverance from this after we hear this tonight. And turn with me now, if you will, to Romans chapter 8, verses 5 to 8. Again, you know this very, very well. Very familiar, but we're going to read this in Romans 8, verses 5 to 8. 5 to 8 of Romans chapter 8. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Now, here we see Paul is speaking of this duality of flesh and spirit. And in this part here, he's speaking about this conflict of the spirit with the flesh. How that the two oppose, they fight. And this, of course, is why God introduces the cross, that we too are to daily take up and follow Christ, because the cross is going to deal with the flesh life if we let the cross do its work. And the cross is very much part of our trials, our tests, our tribulations, our death to the self-life. Now, bearing that in mind, we see that you will move quick in the flesh if you plan the future. And I have noticed this in my own life. The moment I start to try and plan, I think about the future, I start planning about the future things, I suddenly begin to realize I am moving into the area of the flesh. And no longer is that grace working as it should. And this is often the problem that happens. Now, God teaches us that His ways are not our ways. And we need to learn this if in order to walk by faith and not try and work out the future. It is futile trying to work out the future when God tells us that His ways are not our ways. I just want to remind you of this in Isaiah 55, Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 to 13, 55, and here is where God shows His salvation to Israel, salvation based on grace and mercy. And in this, when we take it up in verse 8, for He says here, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returns not there, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth bud, and it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." And then he goes on, with that, bearing that in mind, if you can receive that and accept that, then he says you'll go out with joy and be led forth with peace, and the mountains of the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and so on. So there's blessing. We're shown there is blessing when we accept in God's sovereignty that His thoughts are not our thoughts, neither is His ways our ways. And this is also connected with regard to us about the future. We are never going to find out the future for ourselves. We are never going to know what God has mapped out for us. Sometimes God might give a certain insight. He might do it through a prophet's ministry. The Apostle Paul was given a certain insight as to what he was going to face in his ministry. And he certainly did face a lot. But God didn't tell him too much. Neither does He tell you or I. And this, of course, is why God judged Saul when he went to the witch of Endor to try and find out whether God was going to be with him in battle or not. And that was ultimately the end of him. So we have got to learn that our faith walk is a faith walk. And when you wake up in the morning, the moment you wake up, you walk that day by faith. And you are not to consider about tomorrow, next week, next month, next 6 months or next year. It is a sin to actually do it, because you will never find out what God has got. And even when you try and plan it and you work it out, God will come in, he fouls the whole lot up, and it's completely different. Have you ever tried to work out how God is going to do something? Of course you have, we've all done it. And you found that God's come in, and you thought, well, I never thought that. I never thought he'd do it this way. I'd have never worked that one out in a million years. Why? Because he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither your ways my ways, says the Lord. And he isn't going to show it. And the reason he doesn't show it is because we walk by faith. If God was going to start to show his ways, his thoughts, his plans for us, well then what would be the point of walking by faith? And this, of course, is why it is so wrong to go to the powers of darkness, to witchcraft, to try and find out the future of your life, your destiny. And it not only goes on to say that his thoughts are not your thoughts, neither his ways your ways. And to prove this, he uses the heavens. For he says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways. So he's using an analogy. Can you see God, the heavens? Well, you can see the first heavens. You can't see the second or the third. Well, you can see where the stars are, but we don't know how far it goes. They're infinite in that sense. Well, he says, that's my ways over your life. How can you even begin to fathom or work it out? For as the rain comes down from and snow from heaven, and returns not, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. So it is supernatural, God's word that is spoken, that comes out, God's word that is preached, God's word that is coming out right now under the anointing. How does it come? Well, the snow comes, it melts, but it waters. Where does it go? We don't know, but it is watering, it's bringing forth abundance of food for us. So the word of God is the same. It comes by the Spirit. So that we hear today, now, what the Spirit wants us to hear. Tomorrow, next week, Lord willing, if he tarries, we shall hear then what the Spirit wants us to know. But we need to hear today. And whatever you hear today, whatever the Spirit gives today, whatever you hear through the preacher, the grace is there, and the knowledge is there, the faith is there, that is all you need, that is sufficient. That will get you through. Don't worry about tomorrow. Birds of the air, do not worry about where their food is coming tomorrow. Your pet dog, your pet cat, or whatever you've got, does not worry about whether it's going to receive its food tomorrow. The child that you may nurture does not worry where its food is going to come tomorrow or next week. And God is going to work and work and work with us till we utterly come to that place of rest where we take no thought anymore. Because this thought of money, paying bills and everything still consumes us. And it's taking time up, valuable time. It's trying to rob us of that rest that we have by faith. And we've got to learn this. And the reason you're not learning it is because you still want to know about the future. And you want to know in the future, will I be able to pay those bills next week or next month? It is not for you to know. God says, today you live. Today you will receive the money. Or tomorrow you will receive the money. And your mind is saying, ah, but tomorrow I've got to pay the bill. Doesn't turn up tomorrow. Still not late. God says it isn't late. You think it is because you're now in your mind trying to work out the future. We have got to come to a total rest of faith in everything. Totally. Can God do it? Well, if he can't, then nobody else can. And we might as well just go home and play at religion. But we have come thus far, and I believe the Lord is addressing this even tonight, because there's still some of us still have need of hearing this word at this present time. You see, you have to walk by faith to rest with this. Unless you walk totally by faith, you are never going to experience the rest of faith. And that is the key to this. We want the rest of faith. We want to enter into that rest that it speaks in Hebrews. But you can't enter that rest unless you are tried in faith and you are walking by faith. You wouldn't know otherwise. And so for us to experience yet more of this rest, this is why God is addressing this particular subject tonight. Lord, I'm in your hands concerning my future. And we are. And thank God that we are. Thank God that it isn't my concern. It is by the grace and mercy of God that my future is in the hands of Almighty God. Now he wants you to rest in that and believe that. That his love, grace and mercy is going to get you into the kingdom of God. He who hath begun a work in you will complete and finish it at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has promised these myriads of promises that he started this work, he will complete and finish it. Now if you believe that, you are going to enter into that rest. Now some of you may be saying, oh yes, Pastor, but you don't know what my life is. You don't know what I'm going through at the moment. You do not know the sort of son that I have at home. Sorry, but that is for everyone. Whatever your circumstances, you can start right now. You can start right where you are. You can start confessing. You can start talking it out with the Lord. Because he's going to work that. And he'll keep bringing it up and bringing it up and bringing it up until you start to enter into that rest by faith. Because as we enter into that rest, it is part of the promised land. The promised land is a land of rest. And that is where faith is going to operate. And I'm also convinced that is where we're going to see the greater works before the Lord Jesus returns. It has to operate in that realm of rest. Jesus moved in the realm of rest and peace. Whatever his situation, whatever his circumstances, whoever came before him, whatever needs there were, he constantly was in that rest. How do we know? Because that rest is seen by the fact he said, I do nothing except what the Father shows me. Now that if that doesn't speak of a rest, I do not know what does. We've not yet fully come to that place where we only do that which is revealed by the Spirit. God is still working with us. And so this will tell us, and this will explain to us, why we still yet have not received manifestations. Why maybe you've not received your healing, or you thought you were healed, but found it didn't happen. God is actually showing us, because all of this is going to come in that place, that rest that we have by faith. Because then you are not striving. Believing is like automatically breathing. And that was Jesus' faith. We know that when he gave his first sermon, after he gave it, all the Jews and the elders there, they couldn't get him out of the temple quick enough. And they cast him out and cast him head first down, as though it were down the hill. But it says that he escaped from them. He just departed from them, disappeared from them. He was in that place of faith, resting by faith. And you see the supernatural power of God preserving and keeping him. Many times was Jesus preserved and kept until the appointed time when he was to go to the cross. And that is going to be exactly the same for you and I in whatever situations we're going to find ourselves. Whatever the report, whether they're trying to persecute or the police are coming to cast us into prison, there will be that place of rest by faith. And you just pass through the crowds. My friends, the overcomers have to enter into this. But you will be robbed of this if you try and plan and scheme the future. That is a complete violation, opposite to that rest that we have by faith. You see, even when we confess his promises, keep the carnal mind out of it. When you confess his promises, don't Start confessing the future with it. Maybe you're confessing the promises of healing. And so in that healing you're thinking, well, it's got to be next week that I've got to get healed, because we're going away on holiday, we're having a 2-week vacation. So Lord, you've got to do it. Forget it, you've already missed it. Faith isn't even going to think like that if you're in rest. It doesn't think like that. Let's look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139. And verses 17 to 18. How precious also are your thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. And so these precious promises, he says, how precious also are your thoughts to me. Well, what is his thoughts towards us? Well, we know what his thoughts are. We read the word of God. We read the promises of God's word. What is his thoughts to us? Well, we're hearing his thoughts tonight, are we not? He's telling us not to concern ourselves about the future. That is his precious thought tonight towards us. And he says those thoughts that he has towards us, you can't even count them, like the sand or the stars above. You see, God doesn't think or see like we do. And this is what we battle with. And this is why sometimes we get into the flesh, which I spoke back in Romans 8. Because he says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. God doesn't think like you think. You want to think future. God says, I don't think future. You want to be in control. God says, you're not in control. You want to plan. God says, you don't plan. And so we find ourselves battling with God. But you're soon going to learn that he doesn't think, act, see the way we do. He works completely contrary, completely differently. I'm reminded of a story which you all know very well in 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16, verse 17, where Samuel is called of God to go and anoint the new king after the fall of Saul. And he goes to Jesse, and Jesse has sons. And it says here in verse 7, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And so, of course, Jesse brings his sons along, and none of them fit the picture at all. And so Samuel says, well, have you got any more? He says, well, I've only got one more. He's a shepherd outside. I'm sure not interested in him. He says, bring him in. And he's the one. He's the one to be anointed. But notice clearly what God says here. And this is a divine principle that works so often, and we still make this mistake. Because he says, I've refused him, for the Lord sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And thank God for that. Amen. He does not look on outward appearance. We do. We're still influenced by it. We still are influenced by the eye gate, but God is not. Here we get this idea of God's ways are not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts, which totally throws us completely upon God. And it is utterly futile for you to try and work out the future and plan your life. You will never know in a million years. Actually, let's read verses 12 and 13, where God calls him, and he says, and he sent and brought him. Now he was a ruddy and of a beautiful countenance and handsome. The Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day onwards. And so Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. That was the anointing that God wanted to put on that man. What was God looking at? He was looking at the heart of that boy. God saw in David a heart after God, even though he had sinned badly. That's what he was seeing. That's what he was seeing. Samuel wasn't seeing it at first. Jesse certainly wasn't seeing it. God had to open eyes to see it. And it's going to be exactly the same concerning your future. God is going to have to open your eyes to see this, that you do not, dare not, try and work and plan your future. You're wasting your time. Wasting your time. You see, with our future, God wants us to have a simple, childlike faith. You see, children don't try and work out the future. Children don't try and plan in that sense. They're not trying to scheme. They just take it day by day. They live that day. They enjoy that day. They play their games, their fantasy games. Come home, get fed, get washed, put to bed. That's their life. They're not thinking, planning, scheming the future. And that is how God wants us to live. God is actually working a very simple, childlike faith within us. And that is why he's stripping you and me. That is why he's dealing with pride. That is why he's dealing with intellectual pride, even theological pride. You know, in the West, something that I have seen so different from the East, we so think we've got our theology right because we've got a head full of facts. We know. We know it all. We've got our bookshelves bursting with theological books. We can buy any book we want on whatever spiritual subject we want to know. And yet, going to India, Far East, they don't have any of that. All they have is the Word of God, the Bible. And that is all they read. And they say that that is all they need. And I'll tell you, they are really being taught by the Holy Spirit. Their minds are not cluttered up with a load of theology, a load of garbage, a lot of doctrinal things, bickering and arguing and so on. Yes, we see what the Western world has done, trying to go in and establishing its denominations and the various different cults there, and the prosperity message. But overall, even a lot of the Indians are even rejecting that because they see how phony it is. So God is really visiting them. And I found, and I know I can speak for Bob as well, that when we went there, they were teaching us far more than we could ever teach them. They know about the cross. They take up that cross daily. They suffer the cross, those trials, and so on for the faith. Well, as I bring this into a conclusion, you know, we have a great future, and it's because we have such a great future, why try and sort it out? Why try and find out about it? Why try and plan and scheme about the future when the Christian, the born-again Christian, has the greatest future ever set before mankind?
Amen.
How futile it is for us to try and sort it out. Amen. To try and plan and scheme. For the Lord says, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Nevertheless, the Holy Spirit will reveal at that right time and way. But even that we wait upon. So please, let us learn now not to start planning the future earthly things anymore, because you're going to find it nothing but a hindrance. You're going to find it's going to get in the way. And above all, when you think that you have planned, you've got it right, and everything, you're going to find it an absolute disappointment. And it is. It is an absolute disappointment when you planned and tried to scheme about the future. And sometimes God actually lets you have your way just to simply show you how futile it is, and it's come to nothing, and God's got a better plan, a better future. Mm-hmm. We see the story of Abraham and Sarah did exactly the same there. Believed for the son. In the end, getting too old, she said, you better go in with my maid. And so Ishmael was born. Problems. There they were, trying to plan the future. And look at the result of what happened. And sometimes God will let us, for a season, go and try and plan and scheme to show us that nothing comes of it at the end. God is the master builder over your life and my life. He has made promises for our life which are sovereign, and they will come to pass. And we will move into them, and we have to inherit them. There is a promised land spiritually to inherit for the overcomers. But you can't plan and scheme for that. Only the Holy Spirit can move us step by step by step into that promised land. He can only move us step by step, as the giants of the land have to be taken, and indeed are being taken. But yet a lot of it is not unveiled yet. I said to you that we have the greatest future ahead of us. We don't know yet what is going to be unveiled with regard to the greater works. Then there's going to come the calling away, the snatching away of the overcomers, the wise virgins. We don't know clearly what is going to take place there. We know that we're going to rule and reign with Christ as of a rod of iron. We're going to come back. We're going to be ruling with him. All of this is to be unveiled. There's a huge amount to be unveiled. How can we yet begin to understand or assimilate all of that? This is why we have to take off, walk day by day, and take it by faith. This whole walk is a supernatural walk. And the further we go on in this walk, the more ridiculous, the more fantastic, the more crazy this walk naturally, mentally seems. And yet when you look at it, you stay with it. This has to be God. Lord's got you and I in a hopeless situation, naturally speaking. And that is where we're preserved and kept. We're preserved and kept in a situation that looks hopeless. We look as though we're sinking. It looks as though everything is against us. But they are the very conditions in which to be preserved in, so that you cannot work out the future. And don't try it, because we're in the palm of God's hands. Amen? Do you believe that? I believe that. And I believe that's what God wanted us to hear tonight. Amen. And Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this. We praise you for your love, grace and mercy. Lord, you ever work with us. You never give up on us, Lord. Lord, you're reducing us right down to nothing, so that we may be built and raised up in the power and image of Jesus Christ. It is the cross that is ever working that death, working with not only the flesh, but with the mind, the mental area. Because this is where the battle is. It's in man's mind. How the enemy tries to work in our minds. But Lord, as we just let go and let the future be totally in your hands, Lord, that is just bringing us more and more into that place of rest that we're to have by faith. And so, Lord, I pray that you'll be with everyone tonight who has listened to this message. Let this message be healing, deliverance, salvation to them. Father, I thank you that you love us with such a great love, that work you've begun in us, you are completing and finishing it, Father. Lord, I thank you that nothing will pluck us out of your hands, for we are firmly fixed in the palm of your hand, and we praise you, Lord, for that. And so I pray you'll bless, preserve and keep all those, Father. Bless them when they come in and when they go out. Continue to keep them covered by the blood of Jesus till we assemble again in our fellowship next Tuesday and also on Sunday, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name.